Well, I greet each one of you this morning in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning. I count it a privilege to be gathered with you, the saints of God, this morning. I count it a privilege to be with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. It's a blessing to me to have already heard the things I heard this morning, to hear the singing together, to be exhorted in righteousness and holiness, to be encouraged in our walk with God. And that's a blessing to me. What I would like to share with you today is not something that comes because I know something about this congregation and I thought this is what you needed. What I share with you this morning is something that comes from my personal experiences. I just got back Friday evening from Missouri. Many of you probably have heard of the situation out there with James and Mary Mast and Ethan Mast and Courtney Ullman. Three of those four attended Living Hope regularly. Two were members for years. Never in probably anyone's imagination would we have dreamed that we would see and hear the things that we heard and are seeing today. I would to God it hadn't happened, but we know it has. And I believe that we do well to take lessons from things like this. If you would rise again this morning, and let's pray. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Father, we come again this morning, and Lord, we desire that you would speak here. Lord, use me as your vessel. Father, we desire that you would again bring the bread of life this morning, not some old and moldy off the shelf, but Father, that it could be fresh from the oven of heaven this morning. We pray, Father, that it might speak, Lord, that you might speak to the individual needs of each one here this morning. We desire, Lord, that you would be glorified and lifted up and exalted in each one of our lives, that you might be enthroned in each one of our hearts. Lord, that's our heart's desire. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to understand what the Spirit would say to the church this morning. Lord, I commit myself, I commit us all, I commit this time into your hand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You can turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel, chapter 13. I'm going to speak about something that we commonly are familiar with the word, but it's actually a word that you won't find in your King James Version Bible. I don't know, might be in some other versions, but that word is influence. I'd like to speak this morning, and I've titled the message, The Amazing Power of Influence. I could this morning illustrate for you probably some of the powers of influence, and maybe I will as we go on in the message. But I'd like to also show from personal examples and illustrations in my life, things that have happened in my life, how influence affects people. Some of us may tend to think that we are a bit more immune than others. You know, we look at someone and say, how easy, how gullible they are, but not me. Well, I would suggest to each of you this morning, there's not a single soul here that is not influenceable, is not able to be influenced, and has been influenced. The thing that's important this morning, and I consider essential in each one of our lives, is what are we allowing to influence us? What are we connecting with, and what media, what influences do we have in our lives? Are they good or are they bad? This story here is one that we're probably all familiar with to some extent or another, and it's one that maybe we shrink back from telling because of the nature of the story. But I think we have some lessons here that we do well to learn from this story. So if you'll look 2 Samuel chapter 13, and we'll start reading in verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down in thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick, and when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her, and said unto her, Come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone. And she said unto him, There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, Put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. I'd like you to look at a few of these verses, but before we do that, I'll just give you the definition of influence this morning. Influence is the act or power of producing an effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. It can also be the power or capacity of causing an effect in indirect or intangible ways. I'll read that again. It's the act or power of producing an effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. It's the power or capacity of causing an effect in indirect and intangible ways. I could demonstrate this maybe by doing something like pointing right there and showing what you wanted to do is look over there at what I'm pointing at because I didn't tell you to, did I? But you automatically, because of what I was doing, probably I didn't look back here to see how many of you were looking over there, but I'm guessing quite a few of you looked over at that corner to see what I'm pointing at. I didn't force you, I didn't tell you even, you should look over there. And we have those kind of things that happen all of the time, that because of something that's happening, if I were to start motioning to someone back there, you would, if you didn't know that I'm up to something this morning, you'd probably be tempted to look to see who I'm motioning to back there. That is influence. You're being influenced by me. Have you ever been in a group and someone yawns? It's contagious. I mean, all of a sudden you feel like, well, you need to yawn too. Or cough. You know, and you can go on and on with the type of things that when you have someone else do something, it affects you. That's influence. That's what is happening when those things come into your life. Here we see in this story, if you look at verse 2, Amnon was so vexed, it says, that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. But it says this thing here about it. Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Amnon had a conscience. Amnon, he had grown up in a godly environment, I believe we could expect. We could expect that he heard the word of life. He was there with his family. He heard, David was a man after God's own heart, his father. And he, I believe, could hear the words of life. He could see the Old Testament, the scriptures, and he heard those things. And there was something in his heart that he found it hard. He couldn't do it. He could not do anything to his sister Tamar, even though that lust was in his heart, even though there was something there that he wanted to do it, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. Some of the translations say he found it impossible to do anything. The next verse says, but Amnon had a friend. But Amnon had a friend. How many of you have a friend? But Amnon had a friend. And what did that friend do? Amnon had a friend that told him, do this. And before you know it, Amnon could do that which he found hard to do. He had a friend. And that friend caused him, brought him to the place where he'd done things that he found impossible to do before. This story that I'm telling you about those in Missouri, they would have, if you'd have told them 10 years ago that they're going to have a 4-year-old daughter that has been buried because of the choices they made, they would have told you, you're lying. They would have said, impossible. But today it's true. Today that is true. And maybe I'll say a little more about that later. Verse 3 says, Jonadab was a very subtle man. He was a cunning man. He was one that, I believe, understood human nature. I believe that he was able, if you look at it a little bit further on in this chapter, you know, when the story came that all of the king's sons are dead. He wasn't there. He didn't see it happen. He didn't know, except he was cunning and sharp and knew how people operate. And he knew enough about Absalom, his first cousin, by the way. He knew about him. And he told, when this guy was telling David, he said, no, it's not so. There's only one dead. It's just Amnon. He was someone that was sharp. He was someone who knew how things were going in life. And that's what he did here. He knew how to contrive this situation, how to control it, how to make it happen so that Amnon could have what he wanted. And he done it. He told him how to do it. I think he had a talent that could have been used rightly. He had a talent that could have been used, but he used it in an egregious way. He formed schemes. He was wise to do evil, but not wise to do good. Due to the influence of a friend, Amnon, done that which he found impossible to do before. And I have seen so many in my short lifetime that have had the very same thing. If it had not been for the friend, if it had not been, and I speak to you young people, especially here this morning, I speak to you, I say, beware of the friendships that you develop. Make sure that the friends that you have, the friendships that you keep, that they are good influences in your life. And don't think in yourself that I'm some person that's immune to these things. And I'm not only speaking to you young people, because we older people as well are influenceable. We still, even though maybe we've matured and maybe we can see through things easier and better than some younger ones can, We should never think that we are immune to influences. In fact, we should, because of that, make sure that we are in the company of those that will influence us in the right way. And that's part of the blessing of a church. That's part of the blessing of being in a body of believers who do and practice what they know the Word of God calls them to do. We're in an environment that causes us to be able to grow in righteousness. We're in an environment that will make that we can keep from falling. And by the way, if I'll just go back again to this case in Missouri, that's what happened here. In this case, they went to a conference. They went to a conference where a man told them that we don't need the church. That is what they heard in that conference. We don't need the church. They are an added blessing. Beloved, that is error, and that is harmful error. If you start believing that, and I believe they believed that, I believe that they really thought that they had something that their church didn't know about. They honestly believed that they had found some doctrine, they had found some ways of dealing with people who were having problems. That's what they thought. They had found a way of dealing with these problems that people were having that their church just wasn't able to handle. They were told by the elders of the church, you need to come away from this thing. This is not good. But they thought, we knew better than the elders. They know better than the elders. So why should they listen to the elders? And they said those type of things. They said those type of things. Beware, brothers and sisters. If you start thinking along those lines, you're headed down a slippery slope. You're headed down a place you don't want to go. And I don't know that anyone here is. I warn you, though. Beware if you start having those thoughts. Verse 19. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. Can you just see that poor girl? What had been done to her? Why? Because Amnon had a friend. Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Another version would say, so Tamar, a broken woman, lived in her brother Absalom's house. And I believe that's accurate. A poor young girl who was defiled because Amnon had a friend. Because her brother had a friend. That is what happens. It's real, brothers and sisters. It's real that the things that we think would never happen to us can happen if we allow these influences into our life. If you have had the opportunity to go to places and talk to women who have sons in jail, you will hear time after time after time, my son was a good boy. He just got into the wrong crowd. Time and again, you hear that. He's a good boy. I mean, he was a good boy. He just got into the wrong crowd. I'm dwelling a lot on the negative side here for now, but I would like to turn it to the other a little bit later. Because Amnon had a friend, his sister was emotionally scarred. Because Amnon had a friend, in a matter of less than 2 years, he was dead. Because Amnon had a friend, in less than 5 years, Absalom was dead. He had to flee to the land of Geshur because of Amnon having a friend. That the long-term consequences, the way that things just go from one to another because of decisions, because of influences that happened earlier on. If you look at this story, you find that many in Israel indirectly died because of this influence. We don't know exactly what would have happened with Absalom if he hadn't gone there, if he hadn't gotten bitter, if he hadn't done all of those things. But we know that that is something that happened for Absalom. He had to go spend a couple of years there in Geshur, and then he was brought back, and then he had this bitterness, it seems, in his heart, and he's there, and he is trying to beguile, basically, the children of Israel to follow after him, and he got it done. He got it to where, I mean, when they'd come there to have counsel from David, he would say, well, my father is just so busy and he's not got time for you, but tell me your stories. And he was able to get the hearts of the people of Israel through his cunning. And by that, he was able to, when the time came that he wanted to be made king, the majority, it seems, of Israel followed him. And we know of the story of how then that there was a battle and how there were thousands of people that probably lost their lives. And we don't know, you know, how much of this we can point right back to this story that we are looking at here this morning. But we do know that Absalom was affected, very much affected by this. He was angry with Amnon. He was the kind that didn't show it, though. He just bottled it up, but he was going to get even. You've probably seen the bumper sticker, "I don't get mad, I get even." Well, that was seems to be what Absalom's attitude was. I believe that Absalom could have had a very bright future. He was a young man who was very gifted and capable. But Amnon had a friend. These consequences were far-reaching. It started out with two friends. And that's what we have today. In Missouri, we have four people that are facing the possibility of life in prison because of influence, because of influence in their life. It's not because they grew up out on the streets and begging and that type of thing. Not at all. According to statistics, over 50% of inmates in federal prison are there for drug offenses. If you were to go and ask them this morning, why did you do drugs? What is it that caused you to decide that you were going to do drugs? Do you think they would tell you, well, I seen this TV advertisement that was advertising marijuana or cocaine or meth or heroin or you name the drug that's out there? Do you think they would say, oh, no, I seen some billboards that were advertising this thing and I just decided I'd give it a try? Of course not. There's no such thing. They're not allowed to have those billboards, and they're not allowed to have advertisements on TV or radio or newspaper. It's not something that happens in this country. But how did it happen then? I would guess. I don't think I have to make a very big guess to come up with this. The majority will tell you, I had a friend. I had a friend who gave me a joint. I had a friend who was doing it. I've heard so many stories like that. Are they some isolated cases? Are they some isolated incidents of things like this happening? I don't think so. These are things that we do well, brothers and sisters, to be aware of, to look at, and to be cautious about our friendships. You could do the same thing with the alcoholics. You can do the same thing with, you name the vice that people get themselves into, whether it's gambling or whatever. And again and again and again, you're going to find that it was because there was an influence in their lives that drew them to do that, to try it. You know, and many of them have this attitude, I mean, what can one little joint hurt? Or what can one little, whatever they do, the puff, whatever they do with the cocaine, sniffing it up and stuff. What can one little thing hurt? And then they're hooked. And then they're in it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And we'll look at this a little bit more later as to what we are called to as Christians. I appreciated the opening this morning, and maybe I'll just share now a little bit. I believe that we are called to be influences. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." What is salt if it's not an influence on the food that you eat? It flavors the food, and I believe we ought to be that to the world. We ought to be a preservative as well. It's an influence. I mean, I don't know how many of you don't like your food without salt, but I really like salt. It's quite good. And Jesus himself said salt is good, didn't he? So I think that it's something that we recognize that it flavors food. It takes a flavor and enhances it, makes it better. May it be so with each one of you and me that we are making our environment better. We're influencing the world around us. That is important, and we're called to that. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, verse 4, it says there about Abel, "And he being dead, yet speaketh." He had such an influence that even after he was dead, he was still influencing people. Abel. And he's still influencing people today. "He being dead, yet speaketh." I believe that it's if we look at Jesus himself, who did he go to be his disciples? Who did he choose? Did he go and go to Jerusalem University and get some of the top students out of there and call them to be his disciples? I think not. No, he didn't go to Nazareth College either. He went and he called some fishermen, the working class people. And he went and even got some that were very much looked down, or one that was very much a tax collector. I mean, these people were looked down their nose at. And what did he do? He took those men and he influenced them, and they turned the world upside down. That's what the influence of Christ in our life will do if we let him. But getting back to the negative, getting back to the other side. My son, in verse 15 of Proverbs chapter 1, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." A companion of fools will be destroyed. That's influence. That's what that's saying. A companion of fools. If you're going to be in the company of fools, expect to be destroyed. Expect to become foolish. If you want to go and be wise, then walk with wise people. Walk in wisdom. Walk with those that are wise. You don't learn wisdom by being foolish or being in the company of fools. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, evil communications corrupt good manners. And don't think you're the exception to that rule. Don't think that you somehow, yeah, I know, I have seen it, I've seen others, I've heard of others, I know that it happens, that they have been influenced by evil communications. But, you know, somehow I have this ability to just be able to kind of let it run off of me like water runs off of a duck. Have you heard those type of things? Have you maybe thought those kind of things? Well, I'm here to warn you this morning that we are all influenceable. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? This here, and I'm afraid we're going to run into a problem here with my experiment here this morning, but because my wife wanted to use up some old flour, but this is bread. We're going to call it bread dough. I mean, it's flour. And there's only one difference from one to the other. One has a little bit of influence that the other one doesn't. Very little pinch of influence. It's called leaven or yeast. And if you have that influence, you're going to see what happens as that leaven influences. And Jesus said here, Jesus didn't say here in this verse here, but in Paul is saying through the counsel of God, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? But Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Jesus said that several times in both Matthew and Mark and in Luke, you find it, that he gave the command or the counsel to us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the influence of the Pharisees. My neighbor told me of a story where he had been to a trade show, and there he met these cabinet builders coming from an old order setting, and they were telling him the story of their father. Their father, who was a well-known businessman, who was a little bit up in age, but there was a salesman that called on the phone, and he was selling mattresses. And I think he started off telling him about how wonderful this mattress is. Do you sleep well on your bed? Well, you know, I do have a little problem. My bed I don't sleep as well as I used to. I mean, most of us, as we get older, probably don't sleep quite as well as we used to. And so anyway, he was listening to this salesman, and the salesman was telling him all of the wonderful things about this mattress and how great it was. And finally, he gets to the price. Well, it's only $10,000. Whoa! The guy says, I can't afford that. Oh, I mean, maybe he didn't say I can't afford it, but, you know, I'm not going to pay $10,000 for a mattress. I mean, who would do something like that? And so the salesman said, well, how much would you pay? You know, probably before that salesman called, he wouldn't have given $1,000 for a mattress. But he said, I don't know whether it was $6,000 or $7,000. I could probably pay $6,000 or $7,000 for one. Well, you know what? Today is your day. I'll let you have the mattress for this huge discount. When my neighbor was talking to these men, that mattress was down in the basement because the guy couldn't even sleep on the thing. It wasn't any better than what he had. It's a telling tale of influence. It's a telling tale of what... That's the power of audible or verbal influence in someone's life. And, you know, I have these telephone salesmen. They've gotten so good at it anymore, you know, it's recordings now. And it's almost impossible to tell sometimes whether it's a recording or a real voice with how good they've gotten with their artificial intelligence and things. Anyway, they do that because there are enough people that will bite. That's the only reason. Because if nobody would buy their things, they wouldn't have any reason to keep doing it. So we know that it's working. Somehow or another, they are getting enough people that will get hooked with their spiel. I'd like for you to think this morning about your heart. Just like there are doors that you can come into this room, there are doors that bring you into this building. Your heart has doors. And you know, you can see one of them being your eye gate. You can have one of them be your smell gate. You can have one be your feel gate. And you can have, you know, the hear gate. They're all gates into your heart. They're all gates that lead to you. And believe me, the devil knows all of them. He knows how to use all of those gates to get to your heart. And he will use them in whatever ways he can. Just as anyone, the vilest man on earth, can walk through these doors, so it can be into your heart if you allow it. If you don't bar the door to evil influences, you're going to have them come right into your heart, and they will affect you. The Israelites were told this when they went into the land of Canaan, but if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Numbers 33:55. If you don't drive them out, if you don't keep those influences from the land. And we know it. We know that's exactly what happened. Imagine with me, just think about Gideon for a moment. And I don't know, you know, what all was going through his mind, but it seems to me that he was having a hard time with these, was it Midianites that were living there in the land. I mean, they were there trampling down their crops, and he was there threshing at night trying to get something out of his crops that he had. These people were like grasshoppers over the land, just devouring the things before them. I don't know how the rest of Israel was, but you would imagine, you know, with this oppression, they would have tried to do something about it, but they were all just helpless and hopeless, it seems. They just let it happen. When God could have so easily done, we see what happened then when there was a man who was willing to be used of God. It took only 300 men. And they wasn't really them anyway. It was God that defeated that army. And it's God who will defeat. If you are willing to be used, if you're willing to do what God asks, He will help you to defeat whatever enemy that you face, whatever obstacle that comes into your life. We have that hope in earthen vessels. Just thinking about a couple instances in Scripture before we move to the good influences. Eve. You know, if you think about it, at the very beginning of time, Eve in the Garden of Eden, Eve had a friend. Eve had this snake, and I don't know whether that, maybe that's taking it a little too far to call the snake a friend there, but this friend came over and said, that tree over there, have you been eating from that? I mean, see how beautiful it is? And I'm making up some of the dialogue here, but, you know, something like that is probably what happened. You know, you see what that tree looks like. It's beautiful, isn't it? Have you been eating, and how do you like it? And Eve says, why, no. We can't eat that fruit from that tree. God told us we can't even touch it. Don't touch it. For in the day you do, you're going to die. Oh, the snake says, that's not true. I mean, if you would eat some of that, your eyes would be open and you'd be like a god yourself. Well, who wouldn't want to have their eyes open, and who wouldn't want to be wiser, and who wouldn't want to be more like God? And so, she went and tried it. And sure enough, it was delicious. And she went and told her husband. One friend, another friend, and here it goes. And here we are today because of that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, I used to think that means that we should abstain from anything that looks like it might be evil. I don't think that's what it means. I think what that actually means is abstain from any place that evil appears. Abstain from any places where there's evil going on. Abstain from those places. You can look it up and see if I'm correct. I think you'll find I'm right. Anyway, abstain from all appearance of evil. Keep away from the places where evil is appearing. Stay away from it. A story to illustrate that is told by H.A. Ironside. He talks about how there were these little boys who had gotten these linnets. These linnets are a little bird that they have over in England and possibly other countries there in Europe. But it's a little chirping bird. And they thought, you know what? They caught a couple of these little linnets and they thought, we have a canary that sings so nicely. Let's take that linnet, and let's take him in there and we'll pen him up by the canaries, and maybe if they're with the canary long enough, they'll start singing like a canary. So they had these linnets in there with the canary, and day after day, and these little linnets are still going chirp, 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 and the canary is still singing away. But one day they noticed something different. Not that the linnets were singing like the canary, but that the canary was chirping like a linnet. That's, I think, something for us to beware of, to keep in mind. Yes, we are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be the influence on the world. But beware that you aren't so involved in the world that you are like the linnets. And influence, or like the canary who is influenced by the linnets. Now let's look at some godly influence. My life shall touch a dozen lives before this day is done. Leave countless marks for good or ill ere sets the evening sun. This is the wish I always wish, the prayer I always pray. Lord, may my life help other lives it touches by the way. May it be. May that be our prayer, that we can be that influence, that salt on those around us. And I already quoted this, but I'll just read it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here he gives the example of both salt and light, and both of those have influence on everything around them, or as much as it touches or shines to. I'd like to give you another example that shows the power of influence, the power of a good influence. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the conduct of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." I think if we look at this scripture in verse 1, he says, if any obey not the word. So it seems to me that these husbands know the word. They know, if they didn't know, why, how could they disobey? So they don't obey the word, but it says, you by your chaste conduct are going to be able to win them. That's influence. You by your chaste influence can win them to Christ. She may not be able to go to the scripture and say, husband, look at this. See what it says? She may not be able to do it that way, but she may be able to do it by living it. She may be able to do it by living it out in everyday life. That is the beauty of holiness. That's the beauty of the Christian life lived out so that others can be influenced by it. Psalms chapter 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I believe that the law of the Lord speaks the loudest when it is preached by our lives. It speaks the loudest. I mean, all of us have probably been, I know we have, been influenced by words. We've been influenced by the Word of God and hearing it preached. But you know, for many of us, the loudest sermon has been seeing it in active shoe leather. It has been to see it lived out. And I believe that's what we're saying here in 1 Peter chapter 3 as well, where it speaks to the wives. And by the way, I believe that can be vice versa. I believe that it can be the same way for us husbands. We can do the same for the women. Some of us probably know the song, "Do You Know, O Christian, You're a Sermon in Shoes." Jesus counts upon you to spread the gospel news. So walk it and talk it. Live it and give it, teach it and preach it, know it and show it, a sermon in shoes. May we all be sermons in shoes. It's always lips and lives, preach and practice, walk and talk. May we be faithful in all of those ways. Now I'd like to just again mention and talk a little bit about the blessing that we enjoy today, which in times past people didn't have. I already mentioned the other side of that coin. But media, we have today the ability to get really good godly books and be influenced by them. I have been tremendously influenced by godly biographies of men who've gone before. I have been influenced by reading good literature. I recommend it to you. I recommend that as a good thing for you to do. But also, the other side is true. Beware. It can easily be that you can have a book that is 95% good and 5% poison, if I could say so. Do you know how much poison there is in rat poison? It's less than 1%. It's over 90, it's like 99.9% pure food that you're giving that rat. But there's a little bit of poison mixed with it. And the devil knows that mixing a little poison with good will get his way. And so beware. Beware as well when you let yourself, you know, it's mostly good, it's pretty good, it's not that bad. I mean, yeah, it has this and that and the other thing. It can be easy for us to allow influences like that in that will corrupt good manners. In in Titus chapter 2, second chapter of Titus, it says there in all things, this is verse 7 and 8, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In both of these, Paul is instructing leaders in the church. I don't think it's only for leaders of the church that they should show a pattern of good works, as it says there in Titus, or a doctrine showing uncorruptness. Those are all things that all of us should do. Those are all things that all of us should aspire to be. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Here's another example. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, and delivered just lot. You know, I don't know how many of us would have really thought he was just if Peter hadn't told us. But delivered just lot, what did it say? Who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing, the seeing gate, and hearing, the hearing gate, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. We have an example here of one who chose to remain out on the hills. We know the story well. Abraham and Lot and how the herdsmen were quarreling. They were having a problem. And the older one, Abraham, the one who had brought his nephew along, he went to Lot and he said, Lot, it's not right for us to have this quarrel among our herdsmen. If you decide that you want this over here, go for it. You can have it. Or maybe you want this over here, fine. Take it. Just decide which one you want, and I'll take the rest. And that's what happened. Lot, he was up there. I can just imagine him up on the hill, and he's looking out there, and he's seeing that lush green grass down there by Sodom, down by the nice river flowing through, and he's saying, that is the place I'd like. That's where I want. Did he think at that point, did Lot think at that point of the fact that he would not have his wife a few years later? Did he think at that point of his daughters that he would lose, his son-in-laws that he would have? I don't think he ever thought of that at that point. But he was looking at the green grass. He was looking at the plains down there that were going to be just what he needed for his sheep and camel and whatever all else the livestock was that he had. He was looking with his eyes and seeing the beautiful plains of Sodom. And it says he pitched his tents toward Sodom. And he ended up there. He didn't go there the first day. He ended up there. And he was influenced. His daughters were influenced. His sons-in-laws. Abraham also went to Sodom. But he didn't live there. There's a big difference. We know that Abraham was there, but he didn't stay there. I believe that Abraham had the ability to see, and he was a man of God, and he recognized, that is not for me. Well, I'd like to try to draw this to a close here. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day. By the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Influence can be very subtle. It's something, as I read there earlier in the beginning, that it's an effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. It's something that causes an effect in indirect and intangible ways. Sometimes we can see the influence, and we know that the influence will happen because of experiences that we've had. Bad associations often lead to wrong desires. They give bad directions. They lead to lack of discernment. They often result in defilement, as we see here, where Amnon had a friend. We see that because of that association with his friend, he did that which he found hard. He did that which he thought hard to do, impossible to do. He ended up doing, defiled his sister, caused all kinds of havoc to come into Israel because he had a friend. What we need is friends who will encourage us to do right, pray for us, who will remind us what the Bible says, who act like a Christian should. Again, my life, and your life may, and it may not be this way every day, but touch a dozen lives before this day is done. Leave countless marks for good or ill ere sets the evening sun. This is the wish I always wish, the prayer I always pray. Lord, may my life help other lives it touches by the way. May that be our heart's desire. And God bless each one of you. Again, it's a blessing to be here with you. I desire to walk together. It's been a blessing to have our ministers' meetings together, to walk more closely than we have in years past. It's been a great blessing to get to know a few of you a little better, and I'd love to get to know all of you better. But God bless you. May we together strive for the kingdom of heaven. May we give our all to serve him, and may it be so that he will have the reward for his suffering. I'll just, in closing yet, I'll talk a little bit about the influence of Christ, and I appreciated the scripture there in Hebrews chapter 12, where it was the first two verses, Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let that be the case. And run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. That's the first two verses. The next verse says, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. If you want to consider someone, if you want to be influenced, if you want to be in the presence and in the company of someone, consider him. That's my counsel to you this morning. God bless you as you do. Maybe we could all kneel to pray. Yes, Lord, we do. We desire, Lord, to consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. We desire, Lord, to look unto him as we run with patience and endurance this race that is set before us. Lord, we desire to lift up a standard in each one of our hearts and lives and to walk humbly and holy before you. Lord, I thank you for the word that you have given us here in Scripture, the example that we have. I pray, Father, that you would let these words affect us. Lord, that we would be affected by the Word of God. Lord, that we would be affected by the Spirit of God. Lord, that we could be influenced in righteousness and holiness. I pray, Lord, for each brother and sister here this morning, that you would bless them, that they might be that influence to their neighbors and to the community and to those that they have contact with. Help us, Lord, all that we might be that light to the world, that salt of the earth, Lord, and that we would not have lost the savor. Lord, we just desire to be your witnesses in these last days when iniquity is abounding and the love of many has waxed cold. Help us, Lord, to be faithful witnesses and vessels for you. Bless each one here, I pray. Lead them on in ways of righteousness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.